Hey team, welcome back to the show. Today I am sharing a recent episode that I recorded with my good friend Jack for his podcast, the Jack Hallows Podcast. So on this episode, we really take a deep dive into fat loss and basically all considerations that you need to take into account to achieve an incredible physique at the end of your fat loss phase. So first, the phasic approach that we use with clients to make sure, hey, you are indeed going to end this fat loss phase with the best health, with the most muscle, and again, understanding that that might mean a few phases need to come before we actually dive into fat loss. But then again, most of this episode was centered around fat loss specifically, how we really optimize that from a nutrition front, how we adjust training throughout that, and again, really how to end your fat loss phase with the best possible result. So without any further ado, let's get into the show.
All right. Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Jack Hallows podcast. And it has been a hot minute. I haven't done an episode of a podcast in about, I think it's about 3 weeks now. I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit podcasted out. But I did in that time appear on Jeremiah Bear's podcast, the Living Lean podcast. And I figured it was only right to get him onto the Jack Hallows podcast today so we can put him in the hot seat and kind of ask him a few questions. Jeremiah, welcome to the podcast. How you doing, man?
Yeah, man, I'm doing great. I'm very excited to be here. It was cool to chat a couple weeks ago. I feel like we really had a lot in common. And I always enjoy these conversations, just getting to chat with other people in the coaching space who are, again, kind of coming from things at the same angle. And I feel like I have a similar mindset. So yeah, I'm honored to be here. I love your content. I love your podcast. And again, I'm stoked to get into it.
Yeah, thanks, man. And right back at you too. I didn't know too much about you before we spoke previously. I'm such a bit of adult on social media these days. As much as I'm on there, I kind of like stick to my own little bubble these days. Yeah. But it was the first time we'd really properly chatted. And I think that's always a good sign when, you know, you can hop on a podcast almost kind of on a whim and then just chat back and forth for an hour and have good conversations. So yeah, it was really cool to chat. And yeah, for those of you who don't know, we'll obviously be plugging all of Jeremiah's stuff at the end, but he does have a podcast as well. It's really worth going and listening to. Highly recommend everyone going over there and checking it out. And we'll leave some links below and we'll chat about that a little bit at the end. But for now, Jeremiah, do you want to give everybody a little bit of a rundown about yourself and kind of how you got into the fitness industry, what it is you're up to at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. So to start with my story, I'll try to keep it pretty brief. Basically, when I was in high school, I wish I had a better story because it's the most bro story in the world. But me and my buddy just thought it would be hilarious if we could do like a pec pop. So that was the whole inspiration for us getting into training. Just basically like if we could bounce our pecs in serious conversations, we just thought that'd be hilarious. So that was
I like that.
That was what got us into training. And I very much just fell in love with it from there. To start off with just the resistance training side of things, specifically upper body training. I asked my brother, like, all right, so what should I do? I'm getting into this. Like, I want to get big. And he's like, well, do you want upper body, lower body, or both? And I was like, just upper body. So he's like, all right, bench 5 days a week. You got to alternate between barbell bench press and dumbbell bench press. And that is what I did. It was a great time though. But yeah, since then, I mean, in what that would have been like 2009. And I mean, since then, I just fell in love with it. Really like at that time, it was a much different time really, like before Instagram, which is weird to think of. So I was like hopping on bodybuilding.com. I was constantly getting into like T-Nation and all those different forums and just like reading what people were saying, what people were doing, reading like a ton of blogs by like Christian Thibodeau. I think Paul Carter wrote a lot of blogs back then as well. So like it was interesting what a different time that was. But at the same time, when I started college, had no idea really what I wanted to do. I was into lifting weights and I had a vague idea that I wanted to kind of be a personal trainer. Then I started following a guy. I'm not sure if you'd be familiar, Corey Gregory.
The name rings a bell, but I'm not sure if I've I'm not sure if I've digested any content.
Yeah. Or anything. Okay. So at the time, not necessarily someone that like I follow for like a lot of evidence-based content, but great dude, very inspirational guy. And at the time he was like sharing his workouts every day on Twitter and I would like screenshot it and go like do his training sessions. And to me, that was like the coolest thing. Him and Steve Cook, who somehow was just like, his career was just being a jacked, handsome dude. Apparently, like I still don't really know how Steve Cook makes a living, but to me, it was like, I don't know what these guys are doing, but somehow it's so cool that they're like, more so with Corey, like it seems like he's like coaching people, he's creating content, but he's like doing it online. So I went into it like that was again in like 2011. I had a vague idea that like I'm gonna be a personal trainer, but like online somehow. And long story short, that kind of led us to where we're at today.
And where are we at today? So I think you're online only, right, at the moment?
Correct. Yeah. So since 2018, so from 2014 to the end of 2018, I just focused on training as many people as I possibly could in person. 2018, I made the transition to, slowly and then kind of all at once made the transition to just online. And then over time, the company that I founded, Elevated Coaching Systems, we've now expanded it into a team of four, about to add our fifth actually. And we have an incredible team. Shout out to Natalie, Julie, and Andrea. So we're, as of now, we're physique coaches. We work primarily with women, and we do tend to attract a bit more experienced crowds. So think like typically already well-versed in how to track macros, how to train, basically a lot of, and we work with mostly women, and really we tend to attract a crowd where like effort typically doesn't seem to be as much of a problem. Again, like I'm already showing up consistently. I'm already tracking my food and things of that nature, but just like, okay, so how can we get a little bit more in depth with what you're doing within your training, the way you're fueling yourself? How can we optimize these factors a little bit further? And that's really where we're at today.
Yeah, awesome, man. Yeah, you can really hear the Elevated in that kind of business model. Like, it's a very appropriate name. That's awesome. And I think you guys probably, if we did like a team atlas in Elevated kind of round table, I think we'd all probably get on pretty well by the sounds of things.
That would be incredible. Yeah.
I'll have to try and sort it. Actually, yeah, trying to get Glenn and Kimmy into the podcasting world as well. So we'll have to try and get something teed up there. I think that'd be an awesome conversation. But I want to tangent a little bit really quickly before we get into the meat and potatoes of this episode, because obviously having been online now for a number of years, but also having cut your teeth really on the gym floor, you hear a lot with coaches who have been on the floor, especially for a long period of time, kind of saying that that's the most important part of being a trainer, mm-hmm. being a coach, and then becoming a good online coach. And I personally subscribe to that too. You know, I still do a bit of face-to-face, and I have been for the last 5 years or so, you know, did a lot of hours on the gym floor to start. And I feel like that's where you learn how to be a good coach. You can read all the textbooks you want, you can do all the courses you want, but learning how to actually coach people is easier done on the gym floor than it is online. Is that something you'd subscribe to as well?
Yeah, I would agree 100%. I mean, I think we could look at this from multiple perspectives. First, I think you just understand so much more how real of people you are actually working with, right? Where when someone comes in, it's so much different. If you're just going back and forth via email, you can just like, hey, we're going to bump. This isn't like how I recommend anyone coach, but like, hey, 5 carbs increase this week, thumbs up, keep it up, right? Like, and then that could be like the extent of your conversation with someone. When you're training someone in person, you hear so much about like what's going on with their marriage, their kids, like, you know, so many details, all their stressors, mm-hmm. right? And you get so much better at like, first, just, I think you develop so much more empathy for situations outside of your own. And I think honestly, just as much as like learning how to cue things, I think that's such an important part. And really like being able to develop that understanding of, hey, these people have different lives than me. And really like, I think getting a good insight into all those different areas. Then when you come across similar situations online where people aren't as likely to just share those things right away, I think you better have a better grasp on how to handle them. And also really, at least for me, like building relationships didn't come naturally. So very much like when I started coaching, it really forced me to like understand how to connect with clients, really like, how do I continue the conversation? How do I get more out of them with like, hey, we've really been struggling with your nutrition adherence. And like, I had so much time just like, cause we had like 30 to 60 minutes where I could basically just practice over and over within that. Like, how do I need to, again, like approach each individual and almost like kind of be a chameleon to understand how to best communicate and kind of motivate this person? I feel like it's such a good way to cut your teeth and just practicing those skills. And it, because again, I think that if you're just right into like, we're just hopping right into email, it is so much harder to like get all the practice in that regard. And similarly from a cueing perspective, I think when it comes to like, hey, I think that this cue might click with this person, you just like get so much more like, okay, well, this specifically tends to resonate the most with the most people, right? So that in general, like I could apply that to clients online as well. But yeah, I do for sure think there's good coaches who haven't had like any experience in person. I don't think it's a make or break. But I'm always impressed, especially in this day and age, by people who are still willing to go and just coach a lot of people. Because I do think like if I was to start over And again, like the goal is just to be the best coach possible. I would definitely start with, I want to work with as many people as I can in person again for a couple of years, and then probably try to transition online, because I think that'd be the fastest path to become a better coach.
I agree, man. I agree 110% with everything you've just said there. And I think the biggest points to highlight there are, A, remembering that your clients are real people. I think sometimes in the realm of Instagram and social media and making content, we put a lot of stuff out where it's like, this is the idealistic way of doing things, but it's not always the most realistic way of doing things for a lot of people, right? And then on top of that as well, learning how to communicate with people, because you're right, it's one thing to, again, you know, put together something that you want to put out there as a blog or an Instagram post, or even get in front of a camera and chat. But having a one-to-one conversation with a client, knowing which buttons to press and when, knowing what questions to ask, knowing what cues to give, it's so, so, so important, especially when you're dealing with things like physique transformations. You know, nice little segue there. Because we've got to be able to as well work on clients' mental health and keeping them in check in that manner as well. So moving into that space, physique transformations, am I correct, is kind of what you and your coaching team tend to specialize in the most?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, awesome. So how did you get into that space? Because everyone's kind of got a, you know, some people sort of just fall into it a little bit. But a lot of the time people kind of have a reason as to why they wanted to specialize in that physique transformation, especially for you. I've seen a lot of your transformations on Instagram, a lot of results you get. They're fucking awesome. Like, they're really next level results. And, you know, it takes a certain kind of person and coach to be able to get people there. So yeah, how did you kind of stumble into that? What made you want to take that path?
Yeah, that's a good question. I originally thought that I was going to be like the hypertrophy coach. I thought it was for like other dudes that wanted to get as jacked as possible, because that's very much like where I came from, and that's still my goal, of course. But within that, man, I have always just been able to, I feel like I've been able to better, typically I've been able to better communicate with women. I've just been able to coach women so much better for whatever reason. And this isn't necessarily like specific to physique transformation, but again, like mostly we work with women. But then within that, I can't say it's something that I necessarily did intentionally, as far as like, I want to try to get people as shredded as possible. I think very much it just came as a byproduct of, first, like, I love physique development myself, as does anyone within our team. Like, I really enjoy the process of like going through a photo shoot prep, and not like doing this every year, but again, like every couple of years, like, can I push to new levels? Like, how consistent can I be? How lean can I get? Can I take this to a new level versus anything that I've done before? And then the rest of the time, I really love just trying to build as much muscle as I can. So I think honestly, it wasn't necessarily like, I never have gone into it with the intention that we're going to be like physique transformation specialist, but we very much touch on not just the importance, and like harp on with our clients, not just the importance of fat loss or like healthy lifestyle. Of course, those things are like healthy lifestyle, especially is important, but also like how important it is to build muscle. And then just by nature of our content, who we enjoy working with the most, and this is something we have done very intentionally, we just enjoy working with like a little bit more advanced individual a bit more. We like nerding out a little bit more and getting into the weeds a little bit more. So just by nature of our content, then it's turned out we typically just tend to attract people that are already like relatively fit that want to take it to the next level. So I guess I could say some of that is on purpose, because that's just such a fun client to work with. Or again, rather than like, hey, we only did 1 of 3 training sessions this week, it's like, all right, we're nailing all the foundational pieces. Now we can nerd out a little bit more. Let's dig into your nutrient timing. Or like, you do want to take it to like get ready for a photo shoot prep or something of that nature. So I guess it's been somewhat intentional. And I think that's just both for myself and everyone on our team. That's when we have had these conversations, that's just who we enjoy working with the most. That's who we resonate with the most. So yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah, 100%, man. That answers a lot. And yeah, I really like that. I really like what you mentioned there about kind of the importance of highlighting fat loss as just being part of that transformation and part of that journey, because that's a lot of people don't realize, right? That they think, okay, if I go and lose 10 kilos, I'm going to look incredible, like this person that I found a picture of from their bikini competition, or this, you know, actor or actress from this movie. And it's like, well, you're going to get leaner, but are you going to transform your entire body shape? Possibly not. So This is something I love about your approach that I can see from your content, is that you have this kind of phasic or like cyclical approach to your physique transformations, which is pretty similar to what we do at Team Atlas as well. You know, we encourage reverse dieting, we encourage maintenance phases, we encourage building phases. So, you know, go into as much detail as you want here, but like talk us through your approach to a, you know, well-rounded physique transformation. And obviously, it's going to depend contextually on who comes to you. But let's say somebody who's going to want to go through all these kind of phases. And you can use as much or as little detail as you'd like here. But yeah, talk us through it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you kind of alluded to this already. I would say one of the most common struggles we see, like when a new client starts, it'll typically be like, hey, I have been trying to diet for a very long period of time. And again, I say trying to diet, like, maybe they haven't necessarily been sustaining a calorie deficit, but they've been in a diet mindset for a very long time. And like through a good portion of the week, typically they have been under eating, right? So be it like, hey, I under eat most of the day and then I overeat at night, or I under eat 4 to 5 days out of the week and then overeat like 2 days out of the week, right? So that's a very common scenario. I'm sure you probably see that quite a bit with new clients as well.
All the time, yeah.
So then within that, similarly, and again, just from like who we mostly work with, I'm going to speak mostly to women, but I think the same can be true for men oftentimes as well. But similarly, what we'll see is, again, okay, so coming in, you've described the physique you want. And typically, as you said, like this individual, this new client will think, okay, to get the physique I want, I just need to keep getting leaner, right? If I lost like another 5 pounds, then I would finally have the physique I want. But in reality, oftentimes it's, hey, you just also don't have nearly enough muscle tissue on your frame to achieve the physique you want. So no matter how lean you get, like you'll keep building a smaller shape of your physique, but essentially you want to like completely remold your physique, which in turn is going to take actually adding more muscle tissue to your frame. So then on that token, if we're in this place where, so again, I approach it first from like why we shouldn't always diet, because this is the most common scenario we see, right? So from that perspective, then again, like there will be individuals who can see like a great recomp, that can lose a good amount of body fat and build muscle at the same time. That said, most often in this situation, it's like, okay, I saw that you're already past like your first 1 to 2 years of hard training and being like relatively mindful of your nutrition. And again, kind of like the basic bare bones to start seeing progress. And then like these people have just continued to try to recomp and like lose fat and build muscle at the same time for a very, very long period of time. And thus they're kind of in this place where, again, like I'm so burnt out on dieting that I like kind of stick to it 4 or 5 days out of the week. But not consistently enough to actually lose body fat. But then on the flip side, because we are consistently under eating, then we're in this place where, and again, not talking about like total calories throughout the week, but like 4 or 5 thousand out of the week, we're in a place where we aren't consuming enough calories. So thus training performance is in a very good place. Your recovery isn't in a very good place. We know like in a calorie deficit, muscle protein synthesis is going to be suppressed. Muscle protein breakdown will be slightly increased. So again, it'll be harder for you to build muscle tissue. So then within that, we're really going to struggle to add more tissue to your frame, which is going to be the biggest thing that's going to change your physique, right? And that's from a physique perspective. Now, outside of that, we also have to look at like a quality of life perspective, right? So take it to a completely different example. Like one client that I shared recently, my client Tass, she had just like when we started working together, she was about a month and a half out from completing most of a bodybuilding prep. And in the last couple of weeks, she just was like, hey, my health is in a terrible place. I have to pull out of this. But when she started, she was in this place where her biofeedback was terrible, right? She had no energy. She had extremely high hunger all the time. She felt like she was losing muscle. Her training performance was terrible. All these different factors that, again, are just going to make quality of life very, very poor, right? And that's the situation where on a similar note, like, she was extremely lean. She was shredded. And again, like past a certain point, we aren't going to be able to sustain like below a certain body fat. Everybody's going to have a certain level where below this point, you just feel terrible. Your body isn't going to allow you to build muscle like you want. Hormones are going to suffer. You'll potentially run into things like amenorrhea. Again, building muscle tissue will be extremely hard. Libido will suffer and things of that nature. And then alongside that, you just won't have the dietary flexibility that you want. And it'll very much be like you're a slave to just trying to maintain this lean physique. So similarly, from that perspective, if the goal is to like, for her, it's, and so to bring it back to her, like for her, the challenge was, this was the first time she'd gotten that lean. So it was very hard to let go of, which is understandable, right? Like my first photo shoot prep, for the next year, I tried to like stay as lean as I was, and very similar to what I just described there. I didn't have very much dietary flexibility. I felt terrible. Things like libido suffered. But so it's a very, very normal struggle. But again, in that case, it was like long-term. First, she didn't want to feel like death all the time, right? So then that has to come with, okay, to get you out of this place, we're going to have to probably be okay with adding back a little bit of body fat, right? Many of our hormones, hunger, are going to be regulated to a degree by the amount of body fat we actually have on our frame. And there's other factors there, of course, as well. But to just get back to a healthy place, again, we're going to have to be okay with adding a bit more. But furthermore, like, let's say you want to get this lean again in the future. If we don't take some time away from this, or let's say like you want to progress your physique past this point, okay, you're already very lean, right? So more progress for you entails building more muscle. But to get to the point where we can make more progress, we first have to be okay with not being as lean, in order to push your body in a place where it's like, it senses it's safe basically to add more calorically expensive tissue, which muscle very much is, right? So if we're like extremely lean, there's very few calories coming in. Again, your body isn't, it wouldn't make sense for your body to prioritize something that takes a decent amount of calories to maintain, again, being muscle. So from a couple of different perspectives, those are like the two most common conversations I'm having with newer clients when they are starting this process, right? And then from there, again, so when it comes to like building muscle, that's typically the lever. Like if we look at it as two levers, physique change, on one side we have the diet lever and on the other side we have the muscle growth lever. Typically most new clients have pulled the diet lever over and over and over, but they've never really spent any time pulling muscle growth lever, right? Where building that muscle, like pulling that lever, is going to change your physique. For most people, especially like an already relatively lean person, that's going to change your physique just as much as pulling that fat loss lever, right? But again, we need a different, to like optimize what we can get out of that, we need a different set of circumstances nutritionally than how we're approaching, like than what we would do from a dieting perspective, right? So then again, that's where we can get into like what maintenance phases and building phases look like. But again, then that's where there's more merit to, okay, so rather than us focusing on dieting and just chasing your leanest physique, what if instead we spend some time focusing on consistently giving your body plenty of food, making sure you're going into your training sessions well fueled so you can push harder, making sure that you're doing everything we can to optimize your recovery, focusing on consistently progressing your logbooks and making sure that your biofeedback is in a good place. We see hunger is low, energy is high, your sleep is good, your libido is good. And then alongside that, what if, and again, like this is true for both maintenance phases and building phases, then alongside that, if we can work in like a little bit more dietary flexibility, right? So you have more room to like work in things like maybe an untracked day or an untracked meal, and just like even like eating larger quantities if you want to go on more date nights, right? And we're also taking care of your mental health alongside that. So yeah, very, very long tangent, but where would you like to take it from here?
No, man, firstly, I just want to say like, yeah, I think that's a really good explanation. And I think that's what a lot of people have to realize. Like the big thing I take from that is the reminder that just because at one point in time, you maybe look your quote unquote best, you're probably not going to feel your best, right? You know, yeah. Like take your client who was dieting for a physique show, probably looked next level at that point when they came to you. But as you said, feeling like shit, you know, right. All these biomarkers just plummet down towards the floor, and people don't realize that part. They don't realize that the result itself is extremely difficult to attain to start with, but then sustaining it is practically impossible for a lot of people unless you've got, you know, unless you have a little bit of extra help or you're, yeah, as you said, you know, continuing that cycle of restriction. And, you know, we talked on the episode where I came on your podcast about where that can lead people, because I myself have been there. Right. So the main thing I want to touch on is maintenance phases, because I feel like building phases, people kind of have a good idea of what that is. We're increasing calories, we're trying to push performance, we're trying to bring muscle mass up. But I think a lot of people just think maintenance means literally just sitting still and nothing happens and it's just this really boring place to live. What's the point? But for me, it's not that. You know, maintenance, as you said there, very briefly alluding to, is a place where we can start to let these biomarkers start to normalize and we can make your life have a little bit more balance. You can start to do a little bit more social. You can eat more food. So how do you approach a maintenance phase with a client? Like what's the way that you would describe that to that client? And what are some of the benefits of spending that time at maintenance instead of just going straight to a surplus, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, like, one last thing. I apologize to take it back quick to like the sane lean side of things as well. I feel like really social media also very much skews people's views of what is reality and like how lean people are year round. Because very much like we follow so many people who like they're maybe shredded 1 to 2 months out of the year, but get hella pictures and just post that over and over and over. Or like even like this is something I've been trying to be much more intentional about. Not just sharing like fat loss before and afters, but also again, like bringing it back to the client, like, hey, here's where she's at in her health phase. Or like me right now, I got ripped for a photo shoot. Now I'm up 15 pounds because we're focusing on building and like sharing that as well. I've been trying to be very intentional about that because I think on the same token, like social media does skew because it's like you follow these people who they just looks like they're ripped year round. Every post they make every other day is just them shredded. And then people then like looking at that because they don't post like pictures of the end of their building phase or like their maintenance phase or whatever it may be. So then like you see that and it's like, well, what's wrong with me? They're shredded year round. Why can't I say shredded year round and not feel like shit when it's really like you're seeing like 10 to 15% of the complete picture. And I think that's something that I've been trying to be much more intentional about sharing as well. But to bring it back to maintenance phases then. Yeah. So really within a maintenance phase, I think it's very easy for people to think of maintenance phase and like, that sounds so boring versus a fat loss phase or a building phase, but it is such an important time. Coach Natalie on her team does this. She speaks to this extremely well, but basically how she puts it is, I'm jacking this straight from her. But maintenance is kind of like your home, right? And so we'll have like these trips away from home. We'll have building phases. We'll have fat loss phases. But at the end of the day, we always like want to come back home and we want to make sure it's like a comfortable home that we enjoy living in. Right. So there's a lot within that. I know that sounds kind of woo woo, but I'll elaborate on that a bit more.
No.
But first and foremost, like a lot of clients in the start of coaching as well, will start in a maintenance phase where first we kind of want to establish, learn and practice these new habits and foundations. Basically, we want you to be competent. We want you to be confident. So if you are new to tracking, for example, we just want to make sure we're establishing consistency within tracking. You're able to hit your targets because again, like maintenance is kind of like we're like driving around the parking lot, and then like a fat loss phase or a building phase is kind of like we're on the freeway, right? So first and foremost, we want to make sure that we are in a good place with just our ability to track consistently, hit our food targets, understand like how to hit protein targets, carbohydrate targets, and things of that nature. Really taking the time to also understand and learn your body's cues and patterns. And then within this, it's very much like, because maintenance is the only time where, again, kind of at homeostasis, right? So similarly, when we're looking at like your body weight and how it's shifting, if we're always in a building phase or we're always in a fat loss phase, again, like there's very few times where we're actually can just sit and observe our body and like, oh, this is what my body does with at homeostasis and kind of just take a curious mind to that. Then alongside that, we want to just focus on restoring biofeedback. So get you feeling as good as possible. So things like, hey, are you having any digestive issues? Let's make sure we work through these. How's your sleep? We want your energy to be in a good place. What's your hunger levels like? Is that manageable? Again, there's nothing wrong with like some healthy hunger before meals, but we also don't want this to be extremely high. Really also getting clear on, for a lot of clients working through, like what do you want your life with food to kind of look like? So again, like, is it, hey, we're going to have like, when I'm done working with you and I'm just maintaining, I want to like go out with my husband twice a week, for example. Okay, cool. Let's practice that now. So we make sure like you understand how to work that in, but also so that you are able to, again, maintain this result long-term. And again, just kind of practicing that side of things. And then alongside that, I mean, so again, we're looking to kind of just wrap that up as far as like key indicators of success. And really what we're looking at here, we're typically looking at like your biofeedback, right? So again, hunger, energy throughout the day, mood. Also, this is a time where we can really focus on training as well. Again, I think people think of maintenance as like, well, I'm literally just maintaining. And again, well, like the goal is to keep you up maintenance calories and maintaining body fat levels. Very much like for a lot of people, this is the first time we've really optimized the way you're fueling yourself going into your training sessions, right? Yes. And then like really practicing on pushing harder within your training and your proximity to failure and improving the stimulus that you're getting from your training. Like there's a lot that we can do within that. So we really want to see clients continuing to progress the logbook, seeing better energy levels within the gym. And then alongside that, looking at things, even like your relationship with food, your relationship with the scale, relationship with your body image, and like being okay with, again, like taking it back to before, this being the first time your body's at homeostasis, being okay with like understanding, okay, I am eating at maintenance, but even now, look at how the scale fluctuates. Or like for a lot of clients, we have body measurements and those two will like, hey, we're seeing these fluctuate up 1 week, down the next week, and then they kind of come back to baseline and they repeat that all over again. But even just having time there and again, understanding like, hey, even at maintenance, the scale doesn't say like perfectly level, right? It moves up and down. My body measurements move up and down depending on like where you're at within your cycle and all these different things. And just kind of, I feel like it's for so many clients, it's just mentally beneficial to be okay with that, to like start to learn to be okay with that. And then on a similar token, again, we work with a lot of individuals who are coming from a place where they have been dieting for a long time or trying to diet for a long time. And again, typically what that looks like is that like cycle of undereating and overeating. So again, it's not enough to actually lose fat loss or be in net deficit across the course of the week, but they feel like they're dieting most of the time. And even if it is like, hey, we are, let's say that we see like you're eating 1300 calories 5 days a week, and then we're having like closer to 3000 calories on the weekends. And hey, let's just try to kind of balance this out. Maybe we're at 1600 calories most every day, and then work our way up from there, for example. That in itself can be a kind of an intimidating and challenging thing. So I think a maintenance phase is a much easier way to kind of transition clients into, again, like, so it's for most of the time, I would say like for a newer client, that situation is almost like we're reverse dieting, but not so much like there's going to be any magic to that, but rather like the thought of, even if I think right now we could bump you to 1900 calories and you can maintain perfectly fine. I know psychologically that's going to be extremely hard to handle. So like, hey, again, like as of now, well, again, like when we take your weekends and things into account, we know we're eating much more than this. If it seems to you that your maintenance right now is like 1300, okay, cool. Let's just start at like 1500 to 1600. And then we'll see like, oh, wow, it's actually easier to like control the weekends. You feel so much better within your training, energy levels increase. Cool. Let's bump it a little bit more and a little bit more, right? So I would say realistically, like we use maintenance phases a lot, but again, it almost turns into like a reverse diet phase as much as anything else, where it's again, like over time, as we are increasing, we're focusing on better fueling you within your training. As you're building more muscle, we're focusing on, again, really getting the most out of each of our training sessions, pushing hard, pushing close to failure, optimizing your recovery, even digging into things like your food selection, right? So within that, making sure that you are getting like more satiating foods, plenty of protein and carbohydrates specifically around your training, improving your nutrient timing. So again, we're getting more out of each of those sessions, really focusing on things like your daily movement and making sure we do have like some type of daily movement goal, for example. So then, and again, like balancing out, like feeding you more. Another common like mistake in a situation like this is, again, like the client is typically doing like some type of fasted training and maybe not eating like early in the morning, maybe not eating until like noon or one. So making sure, again, let's feed you more earlier in the day. So again, we're no longer in this place where, because again, it's very common to see like a client who is training maybe Monday through Friday. And again, Monday through Friday, they're extremely hungry. They're trying to keep calories down to like 1200. And again, like training in the mornings, not eating until like noon or one. And so we're in this place where, hey, like where we're actually training, where we need this food for fuel and recovery the most, we're avoiding it. And then on the weekends that we have these large surpluses of calories. So again, we're kind of in this place where it's very hard to build muscle, but it's also very hard to lose fat. So again, just better fueling you throughout the day, eating more throughout the days. So again, like, and even in a situation like that, we could actually like see some recomp. We could see total calories come down a bit, but if you're eating more throughout the days, it'll consistently feel like you are better fueled, you are less hungry. So yeah, within maintenance phases, that's like a high level overview. Of course, like it'll depend on the individual, like when we're getting into further, like again, like what's your relationship with food? Like, what are your body fat levels like? How long ago did you diet? But from a high level perspective, those are kind of the things we're looking at.
Yeah, man. I appreciate the really deep dive on that. And I think that'll hopefully give a lot of the listeners of this podcast who do kind of see maintenance as this sort of standstill, a bit of a fresh perspective on the fact that you can reframe a maintenance phase to be You know, when you hear like bodybuilders talk about improvement season, right? This can be our like relationship with fitness improvement season. As you said there, we can build habits that are going to set us up for, you know, whether we're pushing into a surplus or we're pushing into a deficit, wherever we want to go next, we can spend time with calories in a nice, happy medium where we can start building these habits. We can start building how we want our day to look, how we want our week to look. We can start assessing, okay, how do I actually feel? On this higher food, am I actually sleeping okay already? Is my stress down, or is my libido at a 1 out of 10 anyway? Here, is my stress at a fucking 10 out of 10? Am I still sleeping like shit? Am I still struggling to like want to eat this food? Because really, if we're in that position in a maintenance phase and then we're looking at going into a fat loss phase, we're kind of damned before we even start, really. So that kind of brings me on to my next point here of, you know, for you, you talk a lot about being kind of ready for dieting, which I think is awesome. I think a lot of coaches will take on a new client and they'll be like, oh, you want to diet? You want to get lean in the next 12 weeks? Fuck it. Let's do it. Like, oh, I'm probably not in the best place for it. It doesn't matter. Like, let's just do it. Let's get the before and after. And then I can send you off to someone else to deal with the fallout, which unfortunately is still very common malpractice in the fitness industry. You know, but for yourself, what are you looking for in terms of, and you obviously touched on some of it with the biomarkers and stuff there, but what are you looking for in a client when they say to you, I want to diet, you know, I have this goal in mind of fat loss. What are some things that you're looking for to tell you that that client is ready to just dive headfirst in?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I will say, I think at least 90% of the clients who start with us start saying, I want to diet. So very, very common scenario. And first, that's kind of a needs analysis, right? So, hey, if we look at your physique, and again, like at the end of the day, it's you as the client's decision. It's not my job to like say what your goals are, but rather to kind of lay out the path for you and support you along that. Yeah. But alongside that, I will push back if it's like, hey, I don't think this is a healthy thing to enter, of course. But alongside that, then we're looking at like, first, do you have a good amount of muscle mass? Or again, like similar to what we talked about before, does it make sense for your goal first for us to spend some time adding tissue before we push into a fat loss phase? Because what we might see is, again, if you're under muscle, then you're expecting like this physique that looks like very athletic with plenty of muscle tissue. Again, like we're going to need to spend some time probably focusing on building that, especially if you are like a relatively well-trained individual already. So, I mean, a lot of times what they'll actually end up as is like, hey, let's explore rather than entering fat loss. Let's actually like, especially if it's within your training, we're in a place where we can get a lot like maybe you've been doing like Orange Theory or CrossFit or something of that nature, where we can get so much more out of like shifting you to a hypertrophy style focused training. Then within that, let's explore like what we can accomplish in maintenance. We'll probably be able to build a good amount of muscle tissue there. Let's see where that takes us for like the next 3 to 4 months, then maybe enter building phase and then maybe enter fat loss phase. So first and foremost, it's like, hey, is this even the best approach? Now from there, then we're just looking at some basic things like, hey, before we enter a fat loss phase again, are we able to track with consistency and do so accurately? Are you adherent to your targets on a consistent basis? Again, is the biofeedback in a good place? So very similarly, like a maintenance phase is almost like a primer phase for a fat loss phase, right? Where we're looking at like, hey, is your hunger low? Is your digestion good? Is sleep quality good? Is your training performance in a good place? Are your energy levels good? Because again, if all of those things are already suffering, that's going to be very much magnified when we enter a fat loss phase. From a female perspective, do you have a normal, consistent menstrual cycle? And of course, this can be impacted by things like if you're potentially in menopause or perimenopause or birth control. But again, like those things aside, like, do we have a consistent menstrual cycle? Because if that's dysregulated, kind of, we can look at that as one indicator of where your overall health is at. And we probably want to like focus on this before we push you into a fat loss phase. Similarly, when's the last time you dieted, right? Now, this also comes up with some caveats. So like a client who maybe they have a goal of losing like 50 pounds and they have a good amount of body fat to lose. They may have started the process already dieting, right? And then I think in that case, like, hey, maybe in this case, one of the healthiest things we can do is continue to help you lose more body fat. That'll improve your health markers significantly. But if it's like you very recently got to the point where you were extremely lean, right? I would say really for most individuals, even like 6 months is really going to be kind of pushing it.
Yeah.
Depending to the severity, to the degree to which we got lean. Like if we were pushing below that point where it was a sustainable level of leanness, this isn't like, I don't think the number a lot of people want to hear, but I would really don't like doing that with someone more than like once a year. If even that, but especially if it's been like, hey, it was like 3 to 6 months since we got to like an extremely lean level of body fat. And then typically like if someone's already wanting to diet after that, then it's typically, well, we saw a pretty big rebound after that. Right. So let's first dig into, again, like more of that relationship with food, relationship with your body image. And then similarly, like making sure that from those perspectives as well, even if it isn't like a, hey, it's been a while, even if it's like, hey, there's been plenty of times since I tried to get lean. But again, making sure that we are indeed in a healthy place to actually enter what is going to be inherently a more restrictive phase. Right. So again, like, do we feel okay with like limiting food? And even like, what do you have going on in the next couple months with like social events with your partners? And no matter what, there's going to be like, we're going to have to, I think this is put out there often like, oh, like you, if you work with me, you won't have to like give up any of your favorite foods and you can just, right, because yeah, you're paying your coach, which really, I wish I could say that. But the reality is like a lot of times social events, like the amount of food you can consume and alcohol and things of that nature, you will have to dial that back at least a bit, right? So again, it's like, are you okay with making that trade-off during that time as well?
And that's I do think, as you said, that's something that isn't put out there realistically enough for a lot of people, is that yes, the idea is to limit the amount that we're cutting into your social life. But if you have genuine fat loss goals, genuine physique goals, you're going to have to make sacrifices. You're going to have to give some stuff up, right? You know, and right, flipping it the other way around, it's like if your goal is solely to be a party animal and to be, you know, Mr. Social, Mrs. Social, whatever, like you're going to probably give up some of your health and some of your fitness, you know, and right, a lot of people don't have any issue doing that. It's kind of the other way around. It's like, yeah, you need to, as you said, with alcohol, especially, you need to kind of moderate that intake maybe a little bit more than you think you do. And I do think that, yeah, it's not helped a little bit by everybody being like, no, you get to eat anything, get to drink anything. It's just got to be in this amount. It's like, is that really the best idea? But anyway, sorry, continue. Yeah. I just wanted to.
No, that's a great point. Like, I think flexible dieting is great, but at the same time, I think that so many people just like try to enter a fat loss phase and like basically live their lives exactly as they did before. But now I'm paying a coach several hundred dollars more than I was before. So yeah, that will somehow yield the result when it's realistically, like for most people, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news because I love alcohol and I love food. And I wish this wasn't the case, but realistically in a fat, and this is also part of why, like, it is so important to, I think, have these other phases outside of just fat loss, right? Where we can like, all right, we do have more room for dietary flexibility. I mean, we don't have to be like such a miser about these things. But at the same time, like, I think that if it's, you're going into it with the mindset of like, yeah, my weekends won't have to change. Or like, I think a lot of people, like, it's easy to also bullshit yourself and like, yeah, I basically did the same thing, but I tracked my macros. And like, if I really kind of fudge the numbers here, I can make it work. I feel like that's so easy to fall into. And I feel like with flexible dieting as a whole, it's like, there's a lot of pushback against meal plans. And I'm very much like, I think there's a time and a place for, I'm not like pushing meal plans on anyone, but I do think that like what we see consistently is for people that get lean and maintain a lean, healthy physique year round. It's not like, and again, a healthy physique, not like an unhealthy level shredded. It's not like this person is just constantly playing macro Tetris every day, but rather it's probably like, hey, probably like 80 to 90% of their meals across the week, like, just look pretty similar. And then there's like a little bit of flexibility. That's again, a different tangent, but yeah, to bring it back to preparedness to diet. Yeah. I think that that's another important, like just working through the expectations with the client as well, as far as like to achieve what you want, this is again, like what it is going to take. And again, of course, the further you want to push, the more challenging it's going to be. Are you okay with making these trade-offs during this time? Right. Like, again, like based on what you have coming up, this is like what I expect that'll look like. And again, just making sure that you and the client are on the same page, because I think if not, I think the expectations are also the most important part, because again, like for a lot of people, this is brand new. And again, like a lot of people do go into it with the expectation that I can just continue to eat all my favorite foods. I don't have to change anything. Like this coach has this metabolic hacking protocol, so I'm good. So yeah. I think the expectations are honestly just as important as anything else, and making sure like, hey, are we on board with this? Or do we need to adjust the approach, be it like the rate of loss that we're going to aim for, how lean you want to get, upon discussing this further?
Yeah, 100%, man. And I think that again comes back to the art of coaching on our part as well, right? It's kind of being able to communicate to your client effectively hey, you know, I'm all for you having fun and I'm all for you having a great time and I'm all for you enjoying your time on this planet. But at the same time, if you have this goal that you want to set, like, let's maybe make a few more goal conscious decisions. Cause I always hate using the words good and bad. You always hear that. And it's like, okay, oh, that was a good idea. That was a good decision or bad decision, or, you know, I fucked up or I did really well. It's like, well, no, like, let's just say goal conscious and not so goal conscious, because, you know, sometimes doing something that's not goal conscious can be a good thing. You know, for example, if it's your birthday and you go out for dinner and you eat 3,000 calories at dinner and you eat like two slices of cake and you have a couple of drinks and you message me that and you're my client, I'm going to say, awesome, how was it? You know, because it was your birthday. It might not be the most goal conscious for a fat loss phase, but you got to enjoy yourself. You didn't think about dieting for that day. You know, you only get one a year, happy days. Like, all right. You know, but so I think it sometimes comes down to that for us as well, to be able to put that message across. I'm not going to go too much down that rabbit hole though. So something we kind of talked about there is like prepping nutrition for fat loss, but because I know for yourself, you're very much like me, you're a big like hypertrophy training nerd and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we lack all this kind of programming and program design, lifting sort of talk. Is there anything you do specially for fat loss phases when it comes to training? Like, for example, myself, I'm big on undulating periodization style. I love that kind of periodization for build phases and maintenance phases, because I find that my clients can go more down the functional hypertrophy road. So we can build mm-hmm. some muscle mass, we can build some size, but we can also focus on some big lifts that we can, you know, play around with. We can periodize that A series to keep progressing. But lately in fat loss phases, I've really been enjoying more of like a stock standard linear approach, where we're kind of actually tapering that volume away as we get deeper and deeper into the diet and almost focusing more on neurological work as we get there. But how about for you, man? Is there anything that you like to do with your clients specifically around fat loss with training? Does not much, too much change? Do you have different systems?
Yeah, that's first of all, it's funny that you mentioned the neurological side of things and like transitioning to more neuro type work as you get deeper into fat loss phase, because that is something that I would say for like the last year and a half, I've done pretty consistently as well. I mean, I think it just makes sense, right? Mm. Where it's like, okay, could go do a set of 8 to 12 hack squats, which this deep in the diet just sounds absolutely terrible. Or, hey, maybe I could work in like the 4 to 6 rep range and still do just as much to maintain the tissue that I have, but it would be a lot less exhausting, right? So that's, I still typically tend to follow through most any season of nutrition an undulating style of periodization, but I will still, again, typically like, and it also is going to be dependent on how lean the client is getting, of course, and like their starting point. So for someone who is, let's say, I do think is a good candidate for a recomp, for example, right, where, hey, you have, again, like you're coming from like an Orange Theory, is it Orange Theory a thing over there?
Yeah, we have Orange Theory over here. Okay, F45 just closed its doors. So I think Orange Theory is next big interval circuit thing. Yeah. Very offensively orange. I mean, I know it's in the name, but like the gyms are very offensively orange.
Extremely. Yeah. But so within that, again, like that's a situation where, hey, we probably aren't going to need a ton of volume regardless, right? So again, like I also like to look at the individual. I'm like, I'm reviewing logbooks every week, looking at things like pump and disruption. But generally, like we could say probably that person is going to start somewhere between 6 and 10 hard sets per week, probably closer to the 6, like per muscle group, right? And we'll see how they progress from there. But again, like in a situation like that, it's not going to be quite as, it's there I would typically approach it like very similar to as if they were at in a maintenance phase, unless they start to see like training performance is really struggling or something of that nature. Now for a more advanced client, so like I have a lot of clients I'd be working with who, like, before entering a fat loss phase, we might be in a specialization phase, right? So there we would be, so think like, hey, maybe we're specializing in lats and delts or quads and delts, right? And then most everything else, or like glutes and delts is probably the most common one that I do with clients. So within that, most everything else is going to be right around maintenance volume. And it's going to be, which is going to be pretty low, right? For like some of those upper body tissues, again, it might just be something like 4 to 5 sets per week, plus or minus a few. And then again, pushing a decent bit more volume for glutes and delts. So then within that, like within that transition to the maintenance phase, typically what I would do is, of course, like we're not going to be getting, for a client that's more experienced like that, we're not going to be getting, there's not a point in like trying to specialize and do a ton of volume, because we're probably just not going to be able to recover from it no matter what. Like within the deficit for that client, we're more looking at, can we maintain the tissue that we built already, rather than like, let's hit them with a much larger stimulus, because we're not going to be expecting them to grow. So typically that would be like, I would taper that back and probably add a little bit more volume everywhere else to, again, make sure that as we're in a deficit, we're still getting sufficient stimulus. But I think within that, like no matter what, it's still very much volume is adjusted. But no matter what, like the basic principles are going to stay the same, right? Where to maintain muscle tissue in the fat loss phase, we want to basically give our body the signal that it needs to continue to maintain this muscle tissue. So we need to send the same signal as we would if we were trying to build muscle. So within that, those would be a couple things. I would say then, like once people are getting deeper in fat loss phases, I'm typically looking at sometimes actually even reducing, and this is more specific to like, hey, we're getting ready for a photo shoot, than like, I would say this is like once we're starting to dip below the point of sustainable.
Yeah.
As far as your body fat levels, then I'm typically looking to oftentimes reduce the amount of axial loading. Again, just looking at like a stimulus to fatigue ratio that we're getting within movements. Like there's a lot of great movements that will incorporate a lot of axial or spinal loading, but also they're going to inherently be a little bit more fatiguing. So oftentimes pulling back on that, and then looking to sometimes even reduce unilateral work. Now, this is very specific to, I would say, like the last like 4 to 8 weeks before like somebody's ready for a photo shoot. And it's like at the point where it's really a grind and it's like, okay, I did my unilateral lat pull down. Now, damn it, I have to go to the other side. And very much like this is the point where it's the very grindy part of a fat loss phase.
Yeah.
But yeah, those would definitely be more specific to someone trying to get extremely lean. But I would say as a whole, like I'm of course much more conservative with volume. No matter what, I want to try to get as like much out of as little volume as we can. And also sets to failure, I'm not going to prescribe as frequently. Especially like, so it'll be a lot more like, it depends on the client. I sometimes like it like more of an RP style, like, hey, we're going to do like 3 RIR, 2 RIR, 1 RIR, and then like see how long, give it like a week or two at 0 to 1. Then when we see you need to deload, like start that over. And then I have other clients that I call this, I just pulled this from N1, but again, like maybe across, we're doing like 2, 1, 0 to 1 across 3 sets, right? And we're like training closer to failure within every session. That's where I'll typically like, hey, like maybe we're going to keep it closer to 1 to 2 RIR consistently. And then especially with the compound lifts, the more fatiguing lifts, I'm still typically going to push those, like a lateral raise, I'll typically push a little bit closer to failure still outside of like a mini cut. I have all these examples popping in my head because I just programmed a client for a mini cut as well, where there most everything I'm going to pull back a pretty decent amount. And again, like let's just do the bare minimum to maintain, because this is going to be brutal for like trying to push that to failure. But
yeah,
I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that. If there's anything you do differently there.
No, I actually agree with a lot of that, like the sit in, nodding away, because it sounds very similar to what I'll use with clients. And I think the big thing that you highlighted there is the different stages of being lean when things need to kind of give. So for example, right, you know, looking at the average person when they get lean, you know, they sit in that lean category, which is you lose body fat to the point where it's still probably going to be sustainable. You look really good, you achieve a really good result, but you can probably still sustain that within maybe like a 2 to 5 pound like kind of window essentially, mm-hmm, for that person. And right, not much really has to change there, simply because you're not having to dig as deep. Generally, as you said there, I'll maybe pull back a little bit on the volume, maybe for that person, depending on where their starting point was and where they have to get to. I'll kind of cut off a little bit of RIR there. Again, same thing, rather than pushing a set of hack squat to failure, it's like, okay, keep 1 or 2 in the tank for the next 3 to 4 weeks straight. Just don't mess yourself up. And then you can go ham on the leg extension or something like that. And I think a big mistake that people make there is by going, okay, I'm dieting now, I need to do high rep stuff, and I need to just mess myself up to failure with all of that. It's like, well, actually, if you're wanting to see these changes in your body, it's probably a good idea to bring down inflammation across your entire system rather than driving it up in the form of extra metabolites. But hey, logic, right? Yeah. But yeah, I really like all the stuff you said there about when you're getting into that. Because for me, with my clients, I say it's lean. And then underneath lean, we have shredded. And then underneath that, we have like comp prep, fucking dick skin. You know, there is nothing left sort of
field.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be crude. But, you know, and obviously we do have clients who, if they want to do a shoot, or like my client, Jess, who's in Broadway shows and stuff, she wanted to get really, really lean for the shows. And mm-hmm. we're going to be diving into a fat loss phase again soon. I think we actually just started this week. You know, there's a lot more considerations you do have to make around fatigue and around how much stimulus is actually worth it if that client right. is going to be absolutely cooked by the end of week two of their 6 week phase or whatever. And I completely agree with things like axial loading and kind of taking out bigger movements like deadlifts, squats, even barbell work sometimes with pressing. I'm kind of like, if it's going to be less fatiguing for you to move the dumbbells and I can put kind of a little bit more of a grueling tempo in here to cap loading a little bit, and we can still get a really good amount of stimulus, we can still maintain strength by pushing some of these maybe pause reps or slower eccentrics or even like a 1.25 or something like that. You know, it's going to be maybe a little bit more worth because, you know, I don't want you to have to be doing the standing barbell overhead press or, you know, the hard one is always chin-ups, I find, because obviously they get easier the lighter you get, but they're right. still a very fatiguing, very complex movement. So that's sometimes a conversation I have to have with people. They're like, but they're just starting to feel easier. And I'm like, yeah, but you're getting very lean now. And I'm a little bit concerned at like, you know, whether your elbows are going to hold up. But,
yeah. but I feel like,
yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, Karen.
I feel like I have somewhat of an internal battle with exercise selection, because on one side, very similar to what you said, or like a movement like a Bulgarian split squat, for example, where it's like, yeah, it'll be very dependent on the client, like the type of stimulus they seem to be getting from it. But on the same token, it's like for me, it's just mentally exhausting, you know, like especially like a high rep set just takes it out of you, where it's like, hey, if we could get the same or very similar stimulus from like a leg press in this fat loss phase. But on the same time, I personally don't like to like go into a fat loss phase with a ton of new movements versus where we ended the building phase. Because on the same token, then it's like, okay, so we have kind of these strength marks, right, that we had established within your building phase. And I would like for us to be able to see you. Now leverages will change, and depending on how lean we'll get, we might lose a bit of muscle, but I would like to be able to like really quantify that you're doing a good job for the most part, at least maintaining strength levels where they were. So I also think on the same token, it's, and again, like, yes, keeping some reps in the tank, but on the same token, like knowing where those targets were before gives you a good target to continue to aim for within the fat loss phase. Whereas I think if we like overhaul too much within the program, then it's also easy for it to be like, well, we don't really have these markers that we're working with. And I think it's also easy to like push again, like not push quite as hard as we need to within the fat loss phase, because it's like, well, I don't really know where I'm at relative to where I was in the building phase.
Absolutely. And I think that's a mistake a lot of people make, is that they associate fat loss phases and that higher fatigue with just a, you know, set in stone loss of strength. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. no, you can still maintain a lot of your strength while dieting. In right. fact, if you're not getting, you know, dick skin lean shredded, like you're probably going to maintain the majority of your ability to produce force and your ability to be strong, especially if we continue, as you said, those similar movement patterns. Mm-hmm. But I'd be curious, is that something that you actually look at in your programming when you know a client's going into? Because I know sometimes a client just goes to you, now I feel fat, I want to diet. And you're like, oh shit, okay, let's change the things. You're probably ready anyway. But like, if you've got a client who says to you, yeah, in like 12 weeks, I want to start dieting, I want to get lean for X event or X holiday or whatever, mm-hmm. do you then start switching things around in your programming then to be like, okay, we can get 12 weeks of progression here with some higher calories, and we can really see where you're at on these movements that I'd actually like to use moving forward in the fat loss phase? Or are you still kind of like, this movement's been working really well for the last sort of 6 months of the build. I don't really want to take it out and change and pivot too much now. Which approach do you tend to, and I know it obviously depends on the individual, but.
No, I definitely lean more towards the latter, where if it is looking at, hey, what has been working extremely well for us in the building phase so far, and I would rather like, let's milk that for as much as we can, versus again, like if this is going extremely well, I don't want to plug something else in here. But on the flip side, what I'll say is, if it is like, hey, we seem to have gotten as much as we can out of your hack squat, for example, hack squat's probably a bad example because I feel like we can progress hack squat for a very, very long time. But like, let's rock with that. And again, we think that, well, okay, let's say like your barbell back squat, that would be a better example. We've got as much as we can out of that, or rather like, hey, this is really slowing. And then again, we do know we have this fat loss phase coming up. Okay, again, like hacks might be a better option here or whatever it may be. But yeah, I would typically lean still towards the latter, where I would much more focus on getting as much as we can out of the building phase. And I would much rather like not kill momentum there, because I think even then, if it's like, hey, we do see the fat loss phase starting, and yes, we may need to plug in still, especially at the start of the phase, I think we can still probably like continue to progress those movements for a bit. And then like when needed, I would, if we really like see glaring need, plug something else in. But yeah, I think that's how I'd approach that.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I agree with that as well. And I think it's, as much as you do want to consider keeping those similar movement patterns, I don't think it's as difficult as a lot of people make it out to be. For example, you know, using the back squat again is the example. It's like, you know, okay, let's say we're now 8 weeks into the diet and we're really thinking back squat, maybe not the best idea right now. You're starting to complain of a bit more lower back pain. I've watched your check-in videos and you're starting to go off a little bit with your technique. You look a little bit unfocused. You know, and we've given you a diet break recently, so it's not anything to do with that. You're just starting to get that diet fatigue. It's like, okay, can we still get a decent amount of continuous workload with a front foot elevated split squat that we can like push to a decent level, and we'll lower the reps so that we can go a bit heavier. And then, as you said, you know, using a hack squat and still training that movement pattern, but just in a more controlled, stable environment where, okay, it's not going to have 100% the carryover to a squat, but it could be the difference between your 225 pound squat dropping down to like 190 or your 225 pound squat dropping down to 215 when you come out the other side of the fat loss phase. So yeah, no, I subscribe to a very similar method to that for sure.
Yeah, that's a good insight. I would say almost like in a building phase is where I'm, I mean, I know we just work through all of this as far as like, ideally we're not changing up the entire program, but on the same token, like I think to, again, what we have to do to maintain tissue is going to be less than what we have to do to build tissue, right? So again, like I think like, in a building phase, when like a movement's progressing extremely well, I'm much more hesitant to swap anything else in. But again, like in that example, if it's like, man, I hate this, I'm just not in it mentally, I feel exhausted, my back hurts, as you said, I'm much more open to, yes, like let's plug in a less fatiguing example and we can still get a great stimulus for your quads. We might lose some neurological gains when you come back to the back squat. Those will come back quickly, but we can definitely like give the quads the stimulus they need to maintain that muscle tissue. So yeah, I fully agree there.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's explaining to clients sometimes as well. It's like, you know, you didn't lose strength. Like you more so lost that efficiency to perform that movement because it is very different, you know, like I always get this with, to bring it back to pull-ups. Like if Mark, my coach, ever takes pull-ups out of the program for like 4 to 8 weeks or whatever, and I come back and do them, and the first week I'm like, holy shit, like, did I just get really heavy? Like what's going on? But then by week four, it's like, okay, cool. We got the 15 kilo plate back around the waist or whatever, like ready to go with weighted reps again, because that efficiency comes back very quickly, especially if it's a movement that's already been learned. So yeah, definitely something else there to kind of communicate to clients, I guess. But man, we've been going for about an hour. I'm very conscious of your time. I know it's getting a little bit late there over in the US. So happy to wrap up here. Thank you so much for coming on, man. It's been a really great chat. Please plug away. Where can people find you? What have you got to offer? Tell us everything. I'll put it all in the little description thing as well, but shoot from the hip.
Absolutely, man. So first of all, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation. Our last two conversations have been great. So I'm looking forward to hopefully many more. You can find me on Instagram at Jeremiah Bear. Our website, we post blogs pretty frequently, have tons of free content there, is elevatedcoachingsystems.com. And then my podcast is Living Lean. And yeah, that's really where you can find us.
Awesome, man. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I really highly recommend to everybody, if you like my content, if you like the podcasts that I put out, all the content that I put out through my own Instagram and through Team Atlas, please go check out Jeremiah, go check out his team of coaches as well. They're doing some fantastic work. Their content is all amazing and they get some seriously, seriously good with their good results with their clients. So man, thank you again for coming on, and yeah, hopefully have you on again soon.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, bro. Catch you all in the next one. Goodbye.